All right, welcome back. Midday show. We lead you right into the new afternoon show coming up at 2 o'clock.
The show with no name. How about that?
Yes.
The show with no name.
We know who's on it. I mean,
that's the name.
The show with no name?
Yeah. In the afternoon.
It would kind of be catchy.
The show with no name.
Sounds like a Conklin bit to do that the song Horse with No Name,
yeah, it does.
But make it The Show with No Name.
The Show with No Name.
Well, the newest iteration of the afternoon show starts in earnest today at 2 o'clock. Spike is in the building, so we're excited for those guys to start the new show. All right, before we go back to the phone lines here with all your phone calls, Hugh, I think, and I don't know if you have a physical draft board, but I know we've talked about a lot of the names, and I think it's time that we're going to cross a player off your list. So a name that we've talked a lot about, and he's been mocked to the Eagles quite a few times, maybe not as much in the last week, but like there was like a two-week stretch where we kept seeing this guy's name to the Eagles. Listen to what Daniel Jeremiah said about this guy, because if I know you like I think you do, Hugh, I don't think you're going to want this guy to play corner for the Eagles if Daniel Jeremiah's evaluation is correct. Here he was.
Your final pick here, DJ, was one that you made in your most recent mock draft that, like, you made it, but you didn't love it.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you phrased it well there. Nate Wiggins is really talented. I could make a case if you just watch him cover, he's the best pure cover guy in the entire draft. Out of Clemson, he's long, he's lean, he ran the 4.2s. You know, he showed up at the combine, he was in 173 pounds. He put some weight back on for his pro day. That's not the issue for me, but I have him going to the Philadelphia Eagles because they have a screaming need at the position and he can really cover.
Well, that's the good part. But now listen to Dent Jeremiah on the other part of Wiggins' game.
Personally, I've just kind of gotten away and I've kind of pushed guys down over the last several years that aren't tackling corners. Like you used to be able to play with guys who didn't really tackle. And I think, you know, my theory on it is you know, when McVay kind of took over this league and Shanahan took over this league and then their tree expanded massively, reduced splits, bringing corners into run fits more so than they've ever been before. And you can't hide those guys anymore, man. And they're just going to leave him unblocked. You're going to make him the force player and it's a nightmare. So to me, I've pushed those guys down a little bit, those pure cover corners that I didn't trust to be able to get guys on the ground. And I'm not talking about being a trained killer in there and knocking the guy's mouthpiece out. I'm just get them on the ground. I don't care how you do it, but just find a way to get them on the ground. So that was my hang up with him as a player.
You know what's funny? I was watching, the other night I was watching television. They were just breaking the highlights. And it was like he had an in and out. We had two receivers on his side or whatever. And I was just watching him.
This is Wiggins you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like he didn't want to make it didn't seem like he was going more for the pick than making the securing the play, which is fine.
Sante Samuel did that.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. Which is fine. But just like he said, Daniel Jeremiah said, this league now, when you talk about the teams that were competing in the playoffs and the way that the league is going, you have to be able to tackle. You have to be able to tackle. Now, it's great to have guys out there that can cover for days. But when you talk about those tight splits and things of that nature and crossing routes and things like that, you have to get guys down.
So that's interesting the way he framed it with the Shanahan-ism of the offense in the NFL, right? Everyone kind of copied Shanahan's offense. The Rams do it. The Lions do it. The Packers do it. All the teams the Eagles are going to have to compete against in the NFC. When I heard that, it gave me pause on Wiggins because – the way he framed it is almost like they will find you. They will make you make
basically
the play.
And you know what? When I think about those games that we played against San Fran, and you know what? And I'm not picking, but it sticks out because you said it. Like, you didn't tackle well, but you still felt like you played a good game. You played right into their game plan. When you think about this San Fran game, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't the San Fran game where he's talking about he had a pretty good game? Darius Slay?
Slay. I forget which one. I've blocked out all his nonsense.
No, but my point is this. I mean, you didn't. Because
good.
And he unfollowed me. But it's one of those things where, you know, you can't hide. If they know your style of play, if they know that you're tackle averse, then they're going to put you in situations where you're going to have to make business decisions that you have claimed that you're not trying to make. I mean, that's a fact. And if that's the case, then where do you think I'm going with the football? Where
right
do you think
you.
I'm setting my picks to? To your side. Because I know once the receiver catches the ball, you're probably not going to want to tackle him, and you're going to do everything you can or turn it back inside to your help. You're not going to try to do none of that. You're not doing that.
Yeah, it's interesting how the ebbs and flows of the NFL. You know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, everyone's throwing the ball down the field, and you needed the guys that could cover down the field. You know,
like Deion Sanders.
Right, and now the league has gone more to underneath stuff because everyone's prioritizing stopping the deep pass. Well, if everything is underneath, you have to come up and tackle.
Yeah, like he said, the corners, the one thing that I noticed, and he said it, like corners are in run fits a lot more than they were in the past. And you have to have those corners that are run support guys that can turn it back to the Sharks.
I also question his size, and I know, look, Devontae.
He's a little slight build.
Devontae on the other side of the ball has done very well as a 170-pound receiver. But I don't know. I see a lot of these receivers. They look like trucks out there. Can Nate Wiggins stop Deebo Samuel if Deebo's running full speed at him? I don't know.
No, I think that would be a business decision for him.
Yeah.
If it's not a pick, if it's not a definite pick, then you got guys back there that have the mindset that I'm not tackling anybody. I mean, you can't be that way now. You really, really can't be that way.
It just feels like all roads lead to Cooper DeJean. I mean, the more we go through this, right, I think the top two corners are going to be gone. Kyle's boycotting all offensive linemen. It feels like all roads lead to Cooper DeJean next Thursday night. That's what I'm feeling. Lou's in Denver. What's up, Lou?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I don't want a guy that can't tackle. We saw enough of that last year.
Unfortunately, we did. We saw a whole second half of the season of it.
Yeah, and DeJean is, just looked it up, he's 30 pounds heavier and a half inch or inch shorter. So, I mean, I would definitely like to see him in Eagles green.
Yeah, and although
he's a good guy to move around in the backfield and – yeah.
Well, certainly. And look, DeJean didn't run as fast as Wiggins. I mean, Wiggins ran like a 4.2, but DeJean ran a 4.4. It's not like he's slow, so he can run. Even though he's bigger, he can still run.
Yeah, and sometimes it's about instincts. I mean, look at T.J. Edwards. He went undrafted, didn't have a good 40 time, but he was always in the right position, and we could have used him this last year for sure.